Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
We are coming back to Atlanta. Right now. Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, Internet. Yes, it's me, the substitute teacher. Who smells like blunts. But it's all good. We're still here. It's season 237. It's episode 4 of the Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. And it's the podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It is, let's see, Wednesday? No, I'm going to say Thursday because it is May 19th. Which means it's National Devil's Food Cake Day. Shout out Snackwells, because that was the first Snackwells product I had, was their Devil's Food Cake product, and it did not taste as good as the commercial looked, and I will take Yucky. That shit to my grave.
Yeah, no.
They scammed my fucking child ass. I was like, this shit looks delicious. And I remember my mom saying, you want snack? This is like some like weird health food shit with fake sugars and shit. Did not taste like Devil's Food Cake. Anyway, enough about that. More about me. My name is Miles Gray, a.k.a. Luca's not that old. For the Suns, he was a chore. Nobody ever told him it's the Zeit way. Don't be afraid with the boosties he displayed. For his family gets paid. It's your boy, Miles Gray. Okay, shout out Moth at Napalm Radio on Twitter for that one. You know, look, I'm a SoCal boy, so you're going to win with Sublime tracks. Although, my wife, who's from the East Coast, thinks it's the dumbest shit that I'm into Sublime. But I'm like, it's regional. What do you want me to do? But who's my guest co-host today? Oh, thank God. Like, I put up the fucking bat signal. In comes in the savior. A fantastic host, producer, media critic, writer. This person is everywhere all at once. And is everything everywhere all at once somehow as a person. Please welcome my beloved friend and co-host, Joelle Monique.
Hi, Miles. What's up? I really needed your energy this morning. This is really lovely to come into the chat, too. It's beautiful. Oh. It's shining.
You bring it out of me. What can I say? What's new? What's new besides your wonderful hair? Like I said, you've given me Janet Jackson and poetic
justice. Gosh. I cut it.
You did?
So it's, yeah. So it was like down to my waist, which is a challenge because you will sit on your hair, guys.
Oh, yeah. Oh, what's that like?
I want it to be glamorous. It hurts. Okay, first of all, when you're trying to get in and out of cars, you're trying to be, like, fast. It's LA. You need to get in and get out so this right. driver can move on. Okay. So it was like a whole process of like, let me like very, I don't know, Little Mermaid-esque drape it over my shoulder so I can get into the car without tripping over myself. But the real dilemma was trying to sleep because the braids are tight. You know, you're trying to keep them for a while. Mm-hmm. You're trying to wrap them up, but not too much tighter because it already hurts. And then you're in bed and I would wake up like pulling on my head because my hair has like become my pillow in the middle of the night. It was crazy. I wanted to be a glamour girl. It was not meant to be. I do like these short braids, though. They're fun. They feel kind of edgy. It's giving me Brandy Norwood in the 90s. Mm-hmm. And who doesn't love Brandy? So we made it work.
Jack Harlow.
And I got to have glamorous hair for a minute.
Remember, Jack Harlow didn't know Ray J and Brandy were siblings. And I was like, listen, this is a crime against geriatric responded? Millennials. Huh?
Brandy responded.
What'd she say?
If I could find her actual tweet because it's so funny.
All right,
because
for
it was
the
threatening
end.
And Brandy's not a threat at all. She's talking about she's gonna stomp she's his little ass. She, it was so
this
funny.
Is West Coast. This is West Coast shit out here. But let's get to our guest today. We've got a brilliant and talented comedian. You know, somebody whose Twitter feed I was straight laughing at. Because, you know, sometimes I'm like, okay, I want to learn about a new person. What's their Twitter vibe like? And usually that's the biggest thing. Like, you got to vibe someone's Twitter out and you're like, okay, we fucking with this person. It turns out we are. You know, this person's been featured on Netflix's Bonding, PBS's Stories from the Stage, CISO's New York's Funniest. I remember CISO. Y'all. Oh, man, shout out to CISO. A lot of people. If you got a CISO check, shout out to you because those are the exalted few. Please welcome Gianmarco Sorrisi.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad you remember CISO. I cashed that check real fast.
Good.
I'm
good,
like, this
good.
Company is going under immediately. Yep. I was on a show on Quibi, too.
No, you were not.
Whoa.
I have credits from everything that's closed down.
Oh, damn, Gianmarco. That is those are, you know, I remember when those CISO checks were coming out. And I was like, oh, I'm not established enough at UCB to get one of them checked. But I saw people that were and I was like, credit to you. I love it. I love
thank
it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Where are you coming to us from right now?
I'm from New York City.
Okay.
And it's hot. It's hot.
It is?
It got hot in the last 2 days. I hired a friend to put in my air conditioner because I was too scared to do it myself.
Got you. Like a window one?
Yeah. Even though apparently the last death via air conditioner falling out of a window was like 1968, which shocks me.
What?
Shocks me.
Really? How do we know that for sure? What do you Google? Last time air conditioner killed somebody in New York?
That's exactly what I Googled. You did it verbatim. I just can't. I would think it would happen once a day with New York, but I guess
that's
not.
Wild. I mean, I remember I straight up seen somebody. Well, LA is a little bit different because there aren't too many like multi-story buildings, but I've seen people, the shit fall out of like a one-story window just onto the ground. But wow. Okay. Well, hey. Love the safety measures that are in place, keeping people safe. And by hot, what's New York hot again?
I mean, when it hits 90s, it's or 80s even, because you get on the subway and those subways, sometimes you'll see a subway train, you're like, ooh, it's empty all to myself. And the moment you walk in, either someone took a shit or or the AC's broken and it's hot.
Right, right.
And
right.
It's never a good sign. It's always an illusion.
Oh, New York has the same problem Chicago has, which is that it's next to a large body of water, which means it's also humid when it gets hot, which is terrible. A dry heat like LA has is somewhat bearable. You're like, I'm standing in the sun. I might die, but it's okay. Like I'll just become my bones. And maybe that was my truest state anyway. But in like Chicago, when it hits 85, but if you have a high humidity, it feels like 110 and you want to die. You've just become sweat. Like an actual pool of sweat and heat
right.
and grossness. I don't like the heat, if you can't tell. I hate it.
Hey, it happens, you know?
No.
Chicago's rough. I don't know how anyone lives in Chicago. I was there for the winter. I've been touring.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. If you, a terrible place to live in the winter. Were you there like in February?
Yeah, I was there. I think in February, exactly. And
you know,
man,
what, how
it was
like.
So windy. Yeah. It was so windy. I'm getting off that airplane and the luggage is blowing away and it's freezing.
When that hawk comes through you, which is what we call the wind in Chicago, especially because
you call
Chicago
it the hawk?
Built on the hawk. So Chicago's built on a grid because after the fire, they rebuilt it. And so it's perfect grid. So when you get on a street and the wind is coming directly up the street, you're trapped in between very tall buildings and it just cuts straight through you. like a knife, just like an icy,
piercing knife. Oh, like focused wind blast, basically.
Exactly.
Oh, man.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, look, I love Chicago. Shout out. I mean, my family's actually from Chicago. But let's get into some of the stories that we're going to talk about, and then we're going to pry into your mind a bit more, Gianmarco. We're going to talk just a quick primaries check-in. We had some primaries across the country. Progressives kind of did a good job. Despite all the ridiculous spending from the establishment. So we'll go over some W's there and some L's, including a crypto billionaire who took a L. Wow, you love to see that. Then we're going to talk just a quick grift update. We've got some new MAGA stakes on display. And Kimberly Guilfoyle, you know, a.k.a. MAGA Rita Repulsa, was showing us her skills on the grills in this video clip. And it's just it's sad. And also predictably the beef that they're trying to sell you as trash. And then we're going to talk about Stan Lee being resurrected digitally. No. Yikes. Because nobody asked for that shit, but these people still think we want digital ghosts and shit. Like Whitney, we didn't want that. I mean, we heard what you were doing.
Deeply disturbing.
Don't leave that shit alone. Leave that shit alone. So we'll get into that and some other stuff, plenty more. But first, Gianmarco, what is something from your search history that, you know, reveals a little bit about who you are, what you're into?
So someone recently told me about this video that I was searching for. You know who Richard Belzer is? Belzer? Yeah.
From Law and Order. Order.
Yeah. But he was a stand-up comic, like a host. Like, he kind of hosted a lot of stuff. So someone told me about this video. It's him with Hulk Hogan and I believe Mr. T. And he makes a comment on it. This is on a talk show. He says that wrestling is fake. And Hulk Hogan's like, let me show you how fake it is. And puts him... But consensually in like a sleeper hold of sorts, but within 10 seconds, Richard Belzer passes out.
No.
Hulk Hogan just drops him and he flops on the ground. And so he wakes up. I mean, he was passed out and there's a pool of blood by his head.
No.
And he wakes up. He doesn't know what's going on. The moment he realizes he's on camera, he says, all right, folks, we're going to go to a commercial break and we'll be right back. And you see on the back of his jacket, there's blood, 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 blood. And apparently he sued Hulk Hogan and it was settled out of court, but he got enough money that he bought a villa in France and called it Jay Hogan.
Oh, Belzer.
Yes. And okay, here's what. That's so awesome. I'm sorry. You finish. That's
no,
amazing.
I think the reason I was looking up, because, you know, stand up's a tough career. And I was seeing like kind of what are my options to make a living?
Right.
And
maybe I can get choked out by Conor McGregor.
Yeah.
And then sue my way into home ownership.
Yeah.
The wonderful arc. What were you going to say, Angela?
Just like, first of all, if you didn't know Hulk Hogan was a fucking asshole, like, bing, there it is. Like, to put someone in a chokehold, but then also not to make sure they have a safe land. Like, it's one thing for a demonstration, but you need, what, like 2 seconds to just be like, see, that's awful, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But then to drop him on top of that, I'm glad he got his money and his revenge. Bananas. That's bananas.
Yeah. I you know, as an aggro teen who learned Brazilian jiu-jitsu, I was probably an abuser of the rear naked choke on unsuspecting people. Now, I wouldn't put people to
unsuspecting
sleep.
What do you mean? Just like,
this
guy would be funny.
I was around some weird aggro motherfuckers. Let me tell you, it took one dude to start learning Brazilian jiu-jitsu. And now everyone was like doing like standing triangles and all kinds of submission holds, like during like break between class and shit. And it was out of control. So anyway, I had to arm myself with some knowledge, too, because I'm like, OK, I got to be able to break some of these holds or like not get put to sleep. And I
love
remember
a teacher coming out at recess and seeing like 15 unconscious kids on the playground.
Like, all right, I tapped to like, see? It's effective. It's effective. And I'm like, you know what? Your parents still aren't going to get back together, even though you learned that chokehold. But, you know, keep pushing it. But one time, you know, the big thing is if someone, first of all, a chokehold is different than like, do you consent to me putting you to sleep? You know,
right.
And then just drop. Because if someone's out, you're dropping dead weight. And, you know, that again, that, like you said, caused him pretty bad head injury. But is the villa beautiful? Have we seen pics of the villa?
I'm sure it is a nice villa. And then Hulk Hogan got all his money back suing Gawker and the circle of
thanks
money
to Peter
continued.
Thiel. Right. What a cool group of people they all got together.
You know what though? I was into wrestling. Like, I liked Hulk Hogan and stuff. Yeah. It's better for kids to be into, what did you say you learned? Brazilian jiu-jitsu?
Yeah, sure.
It's better to have that. I remember back in my day, we were scared about high schoolers practicing wrestling moves on each other. And I think one person died. I'd rather have kids get into wrestling than into fucking, you know, what's going on now.
Right.
I'd rather them be into like hand-to-hand combat than any other kind of combat. So I'm down for it. Yeah, let them choke each other out. That's a lot safer.
Well, you and there's actual kind of constructive modes of like wrestling. They have like really strict rules to make sure people don't get hurt.
Yeah.
Like, you know, don't choke people till they pass out, you know,
well, that's the thing.
Here's how you would safely make sure someone falls if they do get injured. Like,
right. But people get hit. You know what I mean? Like, that's real. And sure. I think that's what he's saying is like, we're not just like lightly touching out there. It's like, no, we're big and burly and shit because we got to lift each other up. Your body's got to be able to take a certain amount of impact. And Belzer, you're built like a skeleton. So this is not maybe the best situation for him. But damn. All right, Hulk. What's something you think is overrated?
So as delicately as I can put it, I think the Amber Heard Johnny Depp trial, this is the reason why I think it's like overrated the attention we're paying to it. Because everyone's like putting on to their own particular issues or their feelings around two people that are wildly problematic. So I've seen recently a lot of, obviously, at least on the internet, Johnny Depp has like this PR team where all of a sudden meme accounts have taken sides in the Amber Heard Johnny Depp trial. Mm-hmm. And then some other people have been saying like, you know, the way you're talking about Amber Heard is undermining people who claim that they've been abused. But the problem with putting that on Amber Heard is like they're both so... You don't want any of these people as the face of whatever cause it is that you are believing in or fighting for. And I just think in terms of celebrity trials, we need to detach all sincerity from them because they're both out of their minds. And I have seen divorce up close. I've seen trials up close. You don't want to, from the outside, be taking sides or putting any stakes onto it, especially when they're people that are insane. And they're both insane.
This is one of those things where even outside of Amber Heard, there were, you know, allegations of him being violent, you know?
Yeah.
And there are like a lot of, on Twitter especially, I've seen a lot of people be like, this feels like a fucking psyop that's like happening on the internet, that there's this like total information war happening around this
Absolutely.
Trial. And there's like definitely a cohort of fans who want to find a way to absolve Johnny Depp and other people who are, you know, completely in the other direction. It is something that I'm like, this, I'm like, Johnny Depp is not innocent. Like, they're to
sure.
completely act as if nothing has happened, I think is really disingenuous. And, you know, I think why a lot of people are like looking at a situation like, but I thought there were these credible allegations against him, but all of the internet internet, because I've seen multiple write-ups of this week of how the internet has completely just sided with Johnny Depp.
And I think the meme accounts was the weirdest thing I've ever seen. And the reason I noticed it a lot is there were some meme accounts that I just followed on Instagram or whatever that started posting a couple months ago pro-Putin things. And that's when you're like, oh, this meme account is run by Russia. And all of a sudden, it would be like, there was a picture of like Putin on a bear, like, look how badass Putin looks. And all the comments were like, what the fuck is going on? And it was because these things are owned. It's all, nothing can be trusted anymore. But I just think whether you think Johnny Depp or Amber Heard, I think if you start putting bigger issues on top of this kind of trial, you're going to be disappointed. Because if you put your bets on Amber Heard, some horrible things are going to come out. So you just gotta, sometimes I think certain things shouldn't be taken seriously by us en masse because it's not going to help anyone's cause. So that's how it's overrated watching trials like this. And it's embarrassing. These news outlets should be embarrassed the way that they're presenting these trials for clicks.
The mass consumption to make money off of the trial has absolutely been really disgusting. The way people are like, here's my t-shirt supporting whichever side, or especially when you consider that the outcome of this trial has real world effects, like, and not just on these two people. But, you know, if you can sue your accuser, you know, just because, you know, you're saying they lied, they're saying they didn't, like that. It's already happening. Where Marilyn Manson just sued Evan Rachel Wood for defamation. You know, that kind of stuff is really heinous and scary. And so I think to the lack of seriousness with which the trial is being treated, the fact that it's become a celebrity walk for Johnny, the fact that, you know, there's all kinds of people coming out of the woodwork to tell their like salacious story for either one of these people when, again, just a lot. And I don't know if you guys have seen Johnny Depp has a kid, Lily Rose Depp. She's a performer, but they've been bombarding her Instagram page. Like, why aren't you speaking out for your dad? Like, she's now getting harassment online because people don't like the fact that she's not being vocal enough for their taste. Like, it's just, yeah, it's showing a lot of the worst of what the internet can do. And that's pretty disgusting.
Oof. Yeah, it's, I mean, it's, the stan culture is like absolutely absurd. And it's almost like, man, if you have enough fans, you can create an outward perception that you've done no wrong, when it's like, you can look at just anyone, just look holistically at anything, like past descriptions of his behavior, that he, this never, it's not like you can't find instances where people said, oh yeah, he's kind of a violent guy.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is, this is, but, you know, I think this is a very also interesting moment too, because perception is reality. And for on the internet to have things like this completely obscures, you know, what is actually happening in service of, you know, all of these very, very misguided defenses. What's something you think is underrated?
All right, this feels very specific to me, but since it's summer, I don't know. If I got this wrong, I apologize. But something that I think is underrated. So I'm a big snow cone guy. And I think, listen, no one has ever agreed with me, and neither will you. I like a plain snow cone.
What? I like a That's not a thing. That's just shaved ice in a cone. Ice. Sir, what? Listen,
sometimes you just need texture and temperature, and you don't need taste. Sometimes I'm a chewer. Okay, so I'm a chewer, right?
Okay.
People chew on gum after it's lost its flavor. No. Yes. So for me, a snow cone, it's just like, oh, I'm consuming water in a new, fun way. I get to feel the coldness. I get to feel the melt. I love the feeling of the melt and then the little slushy part at the bottom. I always get it.
Like, you mean water?
I was going to say, now it's slushy.
But it's not just ice. It's not just water. And I can see every snow cone person I've ever asked, they say, what flavor? I say, oh, just plain. And they act like I said, can you shove it up my ass? Like they look like I said something so obscene. And then I go to pay and they go, you can pay whatever you want.
Because you didn't get the one thing that right, makes right. it they're a like, snow cone.
They're like, you all right? You know, this is on, hey, it's on the house, man.
But that tool that they use to cut the ice, it's very expensive. And I don't have blocks of ice at home, so I can't make this on my own, really.
Yeah.
I love it. And you should all try it. If you want a nice, healthy snack that just makes, that's just like, textures.
Mm-hmm.
So underrated. In fact, not even rated at all, because no one's even given it a shot. Plain right. snow
okay.
cones.
I mean, a couple of things here. One, they do make icy machines for children. So if you want to get one so that you don't have to go to the guy and get the judgment every time you order the icy cone, you could just make it in your house, a little shaved ice. It's cute. I think they're like
$30. Yeah.
Second, when you have red or blue, and I feel like it's kind of a quintessential, like, it's not even flavored. They ask you what color you want when you get an icy. What? When did the plain icy? I have to like deconstruct your childhood now, because was it a did something terrible happen? And then you were like, no flavors.
But
you
know, it's snow too cones, exciting. Not icies.
Yeah, snow cones. Just snow cones. Listen, lots of terrible things happen. I don't know what relates to the snow cones, but it really did start like I didn't. All the flavors were too sweet for me. I just didn't like
You're
the
old
flavors.
Soul. Okay.
I don't know what it was, and so I
too
one day
sweet
I got
for a child's palate.
Even for some reason, I like certain sweet things, but something about the, that, I didn't like it. And sometimes they have melted or condensed milk on a plain snow cone. Mm-mm-mm. God, is there anything better on this earth? Then you can
this
focus
like
on the flavor of the condensed
treat.
Milk.
This sounds like a treat. My grandmother would have been like,
Depression
now this, back
treat.
In the day. Really? Yes, exactly.
We'd have ice
Depression.
Chips for dessert if we were good.
Ice chips, they're delicious. That's so good. Just try it once. Just
I
try
will.
It once.
Oh I God. Will. And because I have eaten bear snow off the ground before.
Yes. And it's amazing. It tastes so good.
Yeah. I mean, once you get the asphalt stuff off of it, whatever, it's pretty good. It's pretty tasty. But I kind of half understand. There's this thing in Japan, right? Shave ice is a big thing. You call it kakigori really? Out there. And like Joelle, like you're saying, there are little machines you can buy that mm-hmm. you can like just manually crank and you'll get really good shaved ice and you can then flavor it however you want. So if you're into that thin shaved ice, I suggest doing that. You could freeze your own little Ooh. Water discs and then just grind them out on your own and you got exactly what you're talking about. But there's also this other Japanese like confection thing that they have like that they sell in the freezer aisle. I think it's called Ice Box. And it's a little cup with little chunks of ice, but they're lightly flavored, like very Ooh. Lightly flavored, like grapefruit-ish flavor, mm-hmm. like sweeter Ooh, grapefruit.
I love it. I love it.
And that's a fun thing because when it's hot, it's like eating ice cubes that have a little bit of sweetness to it. So it's kind of splitting the difference between what you're talking about. And I get the appeal of something like slightly simple, but when it's hot, like there's something really enjoyable about eating ice. But if I'm getting a snow cone, you know I'm going up. It's just, it's red or it's tiger blood or whatever the fuck flavors they got, that red and that orange. That's the fuck I need. But hey, to each yes. their own, obviously.
I like a purple, mix the red and blue.
You like purple?
Absolutely.
Okay. Everything. Purple,
everything.
Okay.
That's mm-hmm. how little we know about these flavors. We keep calling them colors.
Yeah.
That's
all they are. They taste the same, except when you close your eyes and you're like, no, this is definitely purple.
Yeah, well, it's because they don't mimic anything that's actually natural. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, yeah.
I ain't never tasted a cherry that tasted like what was told to me is cherry flavor.
Fuck no. Cough cherry syrup,
yeah,
please.
Call it red. Fuck it. I want red. Give me red. Give me blue. I don't give a shit. As long as it's sugar, mm-hmm. we're good. All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll try some plain ice. And we'll be right back.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
My simple solution to the problem was remove people from the scene and help them feel safer.
In response to attacks against Asian Americans, Maddie Park raised over $250,000 to donate cab rides to the Asian community.
There is so much more work to be done. We really need to come together and tackle this issue as a community.
Support the Asian community. Learn how at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
And we're back. Tuesday, we had some primaries around the country. Just wanted to check in because this is when voters, you know, from both parties decide who they would like to go forth to do battle electoral battle over which corporation gets to run the fucking Congress. Yeah. So a lot of money was being spent by the Democratic establishment to prop up a lot of whack ass corporate Dem incumbents and try to snuff out any progressive momentum. I mean, we've seen regularly the establishment go after progressives, try and keep them from getting nominations, etc. And I think this past year has been really frustrating for anyone who actually pays close attention to the promises of Democrats, only to see shit just completely fall apart. And, you know, people like Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema have alerted Democratic voters to the fact, you know, like for those that were taking a long time to realize this, that there are some real shit stains among this cohort of legislators. And voters seem to have voiced their opinion on that in the primaries on Tuesday. So John Fetterman won the Senate primary against Congressman Connor Lamb, who the establishment bet fucking big on.
I love when they lose.
Yeah, I mean, all the machinery, all of the infrastructure was put behind Connor Lamb. Even John Fetterman, I think, suffered a small stroke over the weekend. He wasn't able to be on the campaign trail, like for, you know, GOTV efforts, still pulled it off. Another person in Pennsylvania was Summer Lee, who is a progressive state representative. She was going against a very well-funded person named Steve Irwin, who, you know, has a ton of money from AIPAC, the American Israel political, you know, that's like the American, the basically the pro-Israel lobby that is spends tons of money in the U.S. with on both parties, because for them, it's about maintaining the steady flow of defensive aid that goes to Israel. That's sort of like the main, you know, sort of objective there, to make sure that the U.S. is always standing side by side with Israel, despite the numerous human rights violations or just general atrocities that we've witnessed just even in the past month. And so Summer Lee going up against this man, as things stand, they haven't fully called it yet, but it looks like she is poised to win her race as well. So we're starting to see this thing where people were like, okay, who's the person who's like the who you can just tell is the establishment pick, and the person that's kind of talking a little bit more to the suffering that I'm experiencing, that seems to be a better, you know, a better play in terms of the candidates that have been picked so far. In Oregon, massive amounts were spent from Big Pharma to prop up the incumbent Kurt Schrader, who, again, he basically killed Biden's low-cost prescription drug bill, and Biden still endorsed this guy. Like, that's even though confusing. He was a Democrat who was like, nah, I'm going to side with my corporate pharma donors and be like, I think drug costs are fine. I think people, if they can't afford it, maybe they should die. Maybe that'll motivate them to do better. It's the kind of energy there. Joe Byron, he said, okay, I'm still riding with you. And well, looks like his opponent is going to win as well. And we also saw another candidate who was bankrolled by a crypto billionaire thief. And this man was spending big trying to get sort of in the good graces of the Democratic Party and trying to gain more influence and set up a PAC to keep more corporate Dems in their seats. Well, his pick in the Oregon primary lost to progressive state rep Andrea Salinas. So little moments here and there where we're starting to see people say, oh, yeah, maybe I want someone who seems just as pissed off as I am about what's going on, rather than some person with perfectly coiffed hair being like, yeah, yeah, it's white supremacy and deadly inequality. Yeah, that's bad. All right. Vote for me.
But he doesn't sweat on TV, so he's good.
Yeah.
You know, he's set. Listen, shout out to beating somebody with the same name as the Crocodile Hunter. I feel like that name's got a lot of support still to this day.
Right.
So I get why they threw money behind it. They were like, we're just going to go off the good graces of Crocodile Hunter and his adorable children. It didn't work. It didn't work, though. And I'm glad the voters listened to their heart instead of their nostalgia. We could all take a lesson from that.
Thank God. Every time you see any of these corporate Democrats, they borrow the language of Republicans and accuse their opponent of being socialists and try to like use the same language as if when they're going up against a Republican, the Republican's not going to call them a socialist no matter what the fuck they claim they want to do. And it's so enraging to just see them use the same tactics when they're going to get buried by their opponent. No, Republicans are going to call him a socialist no matter what they want.
Yeah.
And they think somehow if they get closer to the centrist borderline or Republican position that they're going to like win these Republican voters. They're fucking wrong.
Yeah.
And they never take the risk. And that's why it's just so nice to see them to see them lose.
Well, and, you know, again, like you're saying, if you're a capitalist, you're going to have to call somebody a socialist because you're very much defining the, you know, financial economic system that you believe in. But these capitalists can't actually give up the ghost and be like, well, you know, it's the companies that are fucking it up, because then the whole myth of capitalism begins to crumble. And since they are the, you know, constant gardeners tending to that, they just have to keep being like, well, then it's socialist. Like, I said that people deserve to not die in debt because they got sick. And you're saying what? And I think that's what's interesting. I'd love to see more in the discourse of, like, you know, people who are going up against, especially Democrats, to just say, like, or even Republicans, what is your, like, show me how you are compassionate to a human being and how you can, how you see that play out. Like,
I love my kids. I left them all my money.
No. But how would you legislate that? How would you guarantee that?
Yeah, make sure that parents can give their children money, you know, when they die, fate can't take it. And that's how we show love here.
Oh, okay.
It's just that degree of, like, you got to break that word's hold. The word socialism, it's just used. And if you talk to people who just, like, kind of watch the news now and then, that's the word that they cling on to. Oh, well, he's a socialist. I don't support socialism. And it's like, you just got to break these. It's hard because if you're involved in politics, sometimes I think it's tough. I remember seeing my mom. This was during the Democratic primaries for the president. And she was just like, yeah, Bernie's just so loud. And you want to scream. You want to jump in front of a car. Because you go, that's what it is for her as a voter. Ah, Bernie's so loud. And it's so like, loud. How do you break through that easy branding thing? They labeled him as loud. They label him as socialist. How do you break it?
This is a problem I think the, you know, leftists have had to deal with for a long time is, you know, how are you going to espouse values without inevitably falling into that trap where they can just use these thought killing cliches like, here's a socialist. And then, you know, 40% of people's brains immediately turn off at the sound of that. But, you know, the more skilled, I think, rhetoricians need to just speak more to the basic experiences of people without using wonky policy speak, just to say, people deserve better. And we're in a situation where there are a lot of people who have the means to do a lot, while there are many people who are doing everything they can to survive. And somehow that's not good enough in the country that we live in at the moment. And we need to find a way to just make it so nobody has to suffer because they can't work or they're hurt or they're sick. And, you know, try that. But again, immediately you're going to have people who are backed by like AIPAC, because you might eventually say, and we also need to consider like the aid that we send to Israel. Boom. You're going to have all these super PACs just dumping money on messaging to try and snuff you out. And I think we saw that time and again. I mean, Nina Turner, who used to work for Bernie Sanders in Ohio, she lost her primary because the Democratic Party went all in on the person she was going up against, who was more into fossil fuels. Despite the situation we find ourselves in, we're making space, because I think a lot of the times, too, there's so much triangulation. It's like, well, we don't want to turn voters off by saying you don't like fossil fuels. And it's a very it's a position that I think just sort of underlines how all over the place, like the platform is for the party. Another thing I just want to talk about is Madison Cawthorn, a.k.a. Yeah. Baby Fash.
Bye.
Hey, sugar, how you get Third Reich? Sugar, how you get Third Reich? Remember Baby
Fash? I don't
like
that at all.
Hey, Baby Fash. Anyway, for my old R&B fans out there, narrowly lost his primary to, you know, because his own party basically decided to stomp his ass out.
Well, who threw the first shot on that, really? Not to defend any of those guys, but I'm just saying.
I mean, I'm not.
You can't
not
out the party secrets and then expect to get the same kind of support and backing. Okay, if we're having cocaine-fueled orgies, you keep that between us. That's not everybody else's business. You screwed the family.
Here's the other thing, though. Madison, you need to fucking come out with your mixtape and start naming names.
Yes,
bro.
Yes.
That's what I'm hoping. God.
Or are you going to do that thing where you've been thoroughly just, you know, sat down and you're going to behave to try and get back into the game. I don't know if that's going to happen or if he's going to.
No, you know he's petty. You know he's already out here skirting lines and talking.
And I'm not
trash.
Even rooting for him. I'm just saying bring you and everybody else down with you.
Yeah, no, I like the mess. You know, yeah. There are no winners here. But if you can make it more entertaining and messy, and also, you know, maybe give these voters, even if you convince, I mean, you already mentioned the margins are narrow. So, right. You know, if we convince 1, 2, 3 people to switch, then positive things maybe will happen. But yeah, I mean, you can name names, Madison.
He's had a wild time. You know, he flew too close to the MAGA sun. You know, you hate to see it. And then his wings just poof and fell straight to the earth. Okay. Well, speaking of the grift on the right, I just want to check in with, like I said, MAGA Rita Repulsa, a.k.a. Kimberly Guilfoyle. Because remember that speech she gave where she's like, it's only just begun or whatever the fuck that
was. I do remember.
And again, you know, shout out to all my Mighty Morphin Power Rangers fans out there. So she's really taken the Trump family duties to heart ever since she got engaged to Don Jr. And much like her orange hemorrhoid of a future father-in-law, she is also into hawking shitty steaks and convincing her followers to fork over their money for a totally subpar product. And yes, the pun was intended when I said fork over. She wants all the patriots to know, okay, that she has got the one true MAGA steak. And if you're a patriot and you give a fuck about creepy foreign meats, you better fucking do the right thing and, you know, buy these steaks. So let's just check in with her. And before we started, I just want to note, because Joelle, I know you like film. Gianmarco, have you ever dabbled in filmmaking?
Of course.
Okay, you know how, like, when you start a video, you say, don't wait for me to cue you because it needs to look natural?
Yeah.
Well, they couldn't even trim the video where she's like, okay, now? Okay. Like, and action.
Oh, girl.
So, but don't worry. It's very, very organic.
I'm here with these beautiful steaks from GoodRanchers.com. And this is the way you show your family you love them, by buying this meat that is born and raised here in the United States.
Just quick thing.
Okay.
Do you hear fucking thunderstorm outside?
I do. Okay, God doesn't like it. He's mad at you, man.
She got God angry. Moving on.
Fantastic quality USDA. I don't know if you know this or not, but 85% of the meat that they sell in stores today is not even from the United States.
85%.
It's from overseas, from other countries, and you don't even know what's in it or what you're
flip
really
those
getting.
Unseasoned steaks,
Every
Kim.
Time we cook with Good Ranch,
there's too much smoke there
fantastic.
In your
and
house.
What you get with this subscription? So we get to
open a window
everywhere.
And when the kids want great steaks,
when
they
the kids
only want
great steaks,
Good Ranchers, and I don't blame them. From steaks and some potatoes tonight, you can go to GoodRanchers.com.
All right, we're not going to do it.
When the kids want great steaks, I just love the kid being like, Mom, I want a filet tonight. I'm 5 years old. Make sure, though, do not give me any of that other shit from other countries.
Yeah. When your 6-year-old xenophobic Don Draper, who just wants a blue steak with his fucking cognac and cigar.
Mommy, like, where the fuck was this steak from? Is this from Texas?
Is this Aussie beef? Oh, ugh. Fucking Australian beef is bullshit. It's actually fantastic. But
it's like they've never tried Wagyu before. I'm so confused.
Well, look, right. Look, you saw that. Look, as a Japanese person, I'm not even going to hop in the meat of the Wagyu discussion. Them shits, I did not. They look like big red squares. I didn't even see fat air marbling Mm-mm. in that shit. Mm-mm. But a couple of things she said, where she's like, oh, this is great. It's USDA what? She just said it's USDA. Yeah, no shit. Yeah. It has to be properly analyzed by the USDA for it to be sold in the United States. Like, that just means like, yeah, it's legally edible.
That's like this movie is rated, so bring your kids.
Like, rated what? Is it choice? Is it prime? You know what I mean? Like, there's levels to the shit. Ben, you just saying, and it is USDA, and it is legal. Okay.
How'd you do on your test, honey? Oh, I got a grade. I got a grade, for sure.
The thing that she said, though, right? First up, she said 85% of meat in the U.S. is from abroad. That's a lie. That's just not true. There's only about 8 to 12% of the beef that's sold here is coming from abroad. So, but I think what she maybe meant to say is if you look at grass-fed beef, that's a different story. A majority of that does come from abroad because guess what? American cattle ranchers, they're not trying to feed them fucking those cows' grass. Have you seen the factory farms here? They're like, how can I get the most meat out these fucks?
That's they're what feeding I'm those do. Cows this steak is what yeah, they're exactly. feeding those cows.
Also, the water bill is already incredibly high on cows. If you go full grass fed, that's a price a lot of ranchers aren't going to be able to
yeah, meet. Absolutely. So, and so even then, like though the grass fed beef, from my understanding, it's comes from abroad. It's still processed and packaged in the United States, but whatever. Go off, MAGA queen. Let them know about your complete lack of awareness on how to cook. And to your point, Joelle, you're like, it's so smoky. So yes, it was because she has clearly has a like a sick ass chef's kitchen. Mm-hmm. Like if mm-hmm. you have an indoor grill, that's like, okay, we get it. You got, you know, you got probably coins. People of color cooking for you every night and you feel good about that.
No.
So the way that grill works is, if you've ever been in a commercial kitchen, you like, or any indoor space, the hood vent has to be on when you're doing shit, or else smoke will fill your fucking crib and your fire alarm or fire smoke detectors and shit go off. Clearly she wasn't running the hood vent because the smoke was just billowing out. There was like fire flaming up from the fucking grill because it was probably too hot or whatever. And I'm like, why didn't you turn the hood vent on? And I said, ah, that's right. Low budget. The fan was probably making too much noise. And they're like, we can't hear you, Kim. So we're going to have to turn that off and just completely fill the house with smoke. Sorry.
But also, I feel like maybe that grill has not been cleaned properly in a minute because the smoke is like blackish gray. And if you've cooked before, you want to lean closer to a whitish gray with hey, your look, meats. You like, know. I'm...
Why is she everything on trial is wrong. Here? Just because she's trying to... She wants to connect Americans to the good beef at good ranchers. And let's actually talk about that. What's their Better Business Bureau page look like? Uh-oh. How about this? Here's some reviews. Don't waste your money. Poor quality of meat. Good sales pitch, though. I would love to send this meat back. I was ripped off. Here's another one.
If someone thinks it's a good sales pitch and they think the meat's bad, you know it's really bad.
It's
because that person doesn't have taste to begin with.
Right,
and
right.
They still think it's bad.
Loved the sales pitch, but the meat was
loved it.
Shit.
The sales pitch was incredible, I gotta say.
Yeah, coming from somebody who I don't know as a cook or chef, and clearly everything I'm seeing is just going wrong in their kitchen. Yeah, this is someone I can trust. Here's another one. I paid $203 for beef and got ripped off. Con man selling the steaks. Told me there were 20 steaks in a box and there were 10. Filets were 2 ounce and filled with fat and chewy and filled with veins. Could not eat any of the filets and used for pulled beef sandwiches. Totally deceived. Would never buy these again. $203 is a lot of money. Yeah, it is. So they actually ended up losing like their Better Business Bureau like accreditation because everyone was like, yo, this company is absolute trash. And a lot of this is even before Kim Guilfoyle was, you know, caping for them. In what they said was all of their business practices were just so flagrant, and the way that their inability to communicate with customers are like, there's no way we can treat this like a business that is functioning and isn't somehow just constantly ripping people off. So like, we can't even talk about it here, like even say that this is a good entity to do any kind of commerce with. So in case, again, you weren't convinced of Good Ranchers' MAGA credentials, if you go to their website, they're offering customers a chance to have a meet and greet with Red Meat MAGA icon Candace Burnt and Owens.
Good
so
Lord.
Get it in, y'all. Look. They got everything just, there.
Don't Republicans want nice things for themselves? It's confusing because like, if you just read the reviews, you know that the meat is bad. If you see the video, you know it don't cook well properly. We had the same issue with Trump's little steakhouse or whatever,
yeah,
his
Trump
steak delivery thing. I just feel like I understand they love a corporation, but don't they like a functioning corporation?
Nah, cause it's all grift, you know?
Why would you want to meet? Why would? What does Candace Owens have to do with your food? Why
everything.
Do these things go
she
together?
She supports what I support, which is white supremacy.
Yeah.
And so I just want to go, I want to shake her hand to eat this terrible steak.
That's like if they're like, you buy this, you know, Cheerios ripoff, you get to eat a bowl with Johnny Depp. I don't see how these two things go together at all.
Oh, no.
But they're just trying, I think because their whole thing is, right, they're trying to create a whole new, like, commerce ecosystem where conservatives patronize conservative businesses. But
yeah.
Little do they realize a lot of these conservatives are like, Oh, I would love to fucking, yeah, just grift these fucking, these stupid people just because I said, hey, I sent Ben Shapiro a couple steaks and he now has a quote on their website being like, I love their steaks. They're dry. They're dry like, anyway, they're not moist. Don't worry about it. I'm Ben Shapiro. And that, I think, again, creates this air of like, oh, good, the brain trust of conservatives that I look up to also eats this subpar
meat. Question is, will it ever break down? Like, will people get wise to it eventually? Like that person who said, like, listen, great commercial, love the commercial, I watch it to go to sleep at night, but the steaks itself were bad. Like, yeah. Eventually, I have to believe that they get too greedy and people start going, nah, this brand is ruined.
I mean, you see sort of versions like this, right? Like just in politics where conservatives vote for certain policies and then it ends up at their doorstep. And they're like, well, I didn't fucking mean that.
Sure.
Like there was, this woman in Texas who's like worked as a lawyer for fossil fuel companies. And there's this clip of her talking to other residents where, you know, some of the wells, they were like oil wells that weren't plugged up properly and were bleeding into like, it was all going into the water. And she had all this contaminated water. And she's like, I don't understand. Like, I voted for the Republican person who said they were going to plug up the wells. But it turns out he's getting donations from the companies he's supposed to have oversight over. And I don't understand. You know, and people are like, what's going on? And I'm a Republican. And you're like, yeah, motherfucker, because those policies are bullshit. Same thing. And you're seeing it in Florida, too. There's like, you know, rent control. People are talking about, especially like older residents in Florida. They're like, man, we need some form of rent control because we're getting gouged and I can't afford a 60% hike on my rent. And
now I might socialism. Oh, no.
Right. But then you see these conservatives who are out here being like, this is nonsense. I can't afford this. Like, I'm on a fixed income and I have like my Social Security. I'm a Republican and blah, blah, blah. It's like, well, did you hear about rent control or did you the messaging get to you too that?
But that's why they think they can do that with these kinds of things with food or, you know, the Daily Wire is going to start producing movies or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's like at least with arts and food and commerce, it's closer together. Like policies, you don't really you don't see the consequences until a little bit later. But when the Daily Wire starts releasing a movie, these conservatives are going to have to sit and go, I don't want to watch any more of this movie. I want to watch The Avengers, even if it's by the company that made me see a gay superhero.
Disney was wild. Like they really thought they were going to win that fight when they own the culture. Like as far as pop culture for a mass market goes right now, Disney's got it cornered. So going up against Disney was stupid, especially when it's already going to hurt their bottom line. Disney pays so much in taxes, even though they have like a tax credit and tax break down there. They still pay a ton. So it's only hurt. But this is like the thing that Republicans are constantly able to pull off that mesmerizes me. It's like, it's got to just be that racism is so addictive that they can't see beyond their own nose. Because if I remember correctly, Obamacare helped more like voting Republicans than it did voting Democrats.
Yeah. And they were pivotal in pushing back against it when Trump was trying to, you know, gut it, you know, like not to say that they fully were like up in arms. But many people were like, wait, you mean the Affordable Care Act? I like that. They're like, what about Obamacare? No.
No, I hate it. That's okay, the same thing, you dummy. Yeah. Like, it's just, it's wild how frequently it's like, this is not going to work in your fate. It's totally going to work against you. And they're like, oh, but otherwise, I don't know, black and brown people are going to come for me. Got to vote with my people. It's just, it's nuts.
Yeah.
Well, I understand it.
I think both parties are very good at having people turn up to vote for things that might not actually serve them at the end of the day. Mm. Huh. It's like, it's the same thing. But anyway, sit on that for a second, folks. Let's take a quick break and we'll talk about creepy digital resurrections after this.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand, when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
And we're back. When you die, should your digital avatar come back to entertain people for time immemorial? No. What are your thoughts on, you know, Gianmarco, do you want to have a hologram doing some of your old material centuries after you've passed?
Well, let's start with how do I feel as a struggling actor now? Do I want to be competing? When these celebrities die, I go, oh, finally, some room to get in there. And now it's going to be like, oh, I'm auditioning against young Marlon Brando. What the fuck? I thought I was free of this. This is a nightmare. I know people like Robin Williams specifically had clauses that said, right, do not do this, which thank God, because you got to give new people opportunities. And you're starting to lie about what life is. Like, there is a deeper existential thing here where it's like we are even more furthering the dealing with death and loss and change and growth. And I remember one of the most earliest CGI ones was when Paul Walker died in Fast and the Furious.
Oh, yeah.
And they tried to make it like, you know, they said they used his brothers in the scenes and the brothers helped the CGI make it look more like Paul Walker. When I know the truth was they could have used a fucking golf ball. And it would have been just as accurate. They didn't need the brothers at all. They just wanted to make it a little bit sweeter, a little bit warmer. But the truth is, you could make holograms of Tupac going on tour. Richard Pryor went on tour again. Mm-hmm. I think you got to move on, baby. Yeah. We can't do this. I don't like it. It makes me uncomfortable.
It's like how studios can't break their addiction to already established IP. It's just like the further extension of that. It was like, well, I mean, can we get Brad Pitt in another film? And it's like, he died 30 years ago. It's like, yeah, deep fake Brad Pitt, you fucking.
Or they'll be like, hey, CGI Johnny Depp didn't do anything wrong. CGI Johnny Depp isn't even a real person.
Yeah.
So we get to bring him back to Pirates.
It's a combination of zeros and ones.
I hope, listen, for a cameo for Stan Lee, sure. I hope that human beings, part of the desire of seeing a movie is like, oh, that's a real person that exists that I'm seeing that did something. Right. Like, that's part of the joy. Like, you want to see a gymnast do flips as opposed to a CGI gymnast do impossible tricks because there's a joy in, oh, that's a real person. And that person could be bad or could fail and they succeeded.
Versus so like I hope, a predetermined animation.
Yes. I hope that keeps people working as actors.
I think as a culture, we should have more respect for the dead. And by that, I don't mean like not critiquing people in the way they live, because that's stupid. But like, you know, when somebody thought it would be okay for Hugh Hefner to buy the spot next to Marilyn Monroe so he could be with her all, like, that was weird. And we should have been like, Hugh, no, step away from this woman. She's dead. Please let her rest in peace. That's weird. And then I think we do a lot of the same things now where we are either chopping up old material or digitizing people who could never have consented to this, to how their image was being used. And we've already seen a lot of trouble with deep fakes. And so I think there's definitely an ethical and moral discussion around that. That being said, I think the tool and the technology are interesting. And when people try to apply it to actual, like, artistic endeavors, you know, however you feel about The Irishman, you know, it was trying something. And it was, and I think, and especially because a lot of people hated on that movie, like, you could just hire young actors. And yes, obviously, Scorsese is aware he could hire other actors if he wanted to. But I think it says he was saying something very specific about being an octogenarian and being older and reflecting on your life and trying to put, you know, these old guys he's known for a long time in, like, these younger bodies and a chance to really explore, like, what does that mean to us as older human beings? And I think that there's a deep and very interesting artistic endeavor in doing that.
There's something, like, so funny about Robert De Niro, though, because they made him look younger, but then when he moved, like, he was like,
he was still moving like an old man. They did not figure that part out at all. And it was a challenge. It was definitely a challenge. But, you know, but then I think, like, in a very hypothetical setting, right? Like, if they were to make a movie about, like, I don't know, glamorous 1940s Hollywood, and they wanted to, you know, CGI a little bit some actors to really put the, like, be like, oh my god, that's actually, you know, I don't know, Greta Garbo or whomever, and give that vibe, like, would I be okay? Would that be cool? I kind of want to see it. I have mixed feelings. I think it's definitely a state, and like a state should be asked. And I think specifically people who, like, please don't do this, I don't know how you intend to use my image post my life, then yeah, we have to respect that. But yeah, I do think it's an interesting tool.
Well, so, you know, the reason we bring this up is because Marvel announced that they had a deal to, quote, license the name and likeness of the late Stan Lee. And people are like, okay, does this mean, like, it increased, like, cameos, like, in the films? And it doesn't seem like that's what they say, quote, necessarily the plan, but they still, it's like they want to use his likeness in, like, theme parks, cruise lines, and on merchandise, which, like, okay, so you're trying to say, like, here's Pappy Marvel, and, like, here's my Pappy
Marvel. Who wants to see that? Oh, look, there's the guy that's dead. There's that reminds me of my mortality. How cute. Right. Let's get that t-shirt.
Wasn't he all, like, creepy later in life? No, don't worry about him. He gave us some of the great characters. Now, I think it's just really interesting when you consider, right, that the company that they made the deal with, PAL, which, you know, again, is behind this deal, they were sued by Stan Lee for $1 billion in 2018, and he alleged that they had a quote nefarious scheme to steal his likeness and were even impersonating him on social media.
Jesus Christ.
The company PAL, like, Lee co-founded this company, and they said, like, in this lawsuit, Lee claimed that they approached him about the likeness deal, and this was when he was, quote, grieving after his wife's death.
Oh,
and, quote, Lord, nobody ever read the contract to him, end quote, despite the fact that he was legally blind at the time.
So evil. That's evil.
We sent it to you, Stan. You didn't read it? I can't read, you motherfuckers.
Look, I'm going through a lot now. Yeah, we'll make it short, Stan. We'll make it short. I think this is a good deal for you. You want it? We'll send some money over to you right now. Just sign the thing. Okay. Well, anyway, he dropped the lawsuit, but it's still just, like, paints this in a very weird light. And this is, again, like we're saying, this is just sort of the latest example of these dead celebrities being, you know, entertainingly exhumed for our enjoyment.
They're going to be like, his CGI self dropped the lawsuit 3 years after his death.
Right, exactly. Like, right now, right, there's, like, in this, the new Dirty Dancing sequel that was announced, there's a mention that they have had discussions with Patrick Swayze's estate because, quote, Johnny is a part of Baby's journey in the story. So people were like, I'm sorry, so does that mean there will be CGI Swayze? I don't know. We'll see, is kind of the thing. There was even, like, a Bourdain, like, Bourdain's voice was, like, recreated using AI. And, you know, his ex-wife was like, oh, this is fucking gross bullshit. Like, this is really fucking weird.
I think it'd be funny if for the baby, they tried to do that leap where, you know, he picks her up in the air and she goes for the leap, but he turns out it's CGI. So she just leaps and goes crashing into the ground.
It's so weird. Because at first, before we learned all the information, I was like, you know, Stan Lee was such a, I don't know what the right, like in a voice piece for Marvel. I mean, before they became Marvel Studios, I mean, he's doing radio back at like Marvel Radio back in the 60s, like really promoting the brand. And he's the one who moved the studios from New York to LA so they could get into animation in the late 70s, early 80s. Like, Stan is a quintessential part of the Marvel brand, and Disney is known for showcasing the early creators, right? Like, Walt is everywhere, and they probably have his body somewhere, and they're prepared to wake that up and reanimate it as well when the technology reaches there. So I just feel like, oh, it sort of makes sense that they would try. But to know that the deal wasn't made directly with Marvel and that's through a company that he tried to sue, I just don't see in good conscience how you could ever release anything at this point. It's just so skeevy. But then,
well, you know, it's so on a cruise ship, you can eat in the Stanley dining hall, you know. Maybe where they're going with it, I don't know. Sure.
I mean, that's Disney Cruise's big selling point, is that each night the Disney hall, the dining hall where you eat, gets a complete like design makeover because most of it is LED screens.
Oh shit. Okay, look at them. Well, now you might be able to eat your overly dry pork chop with a smiling old white guy with aviators on.
Awkward.
Smiling over you.
Oh, no.
How's the pork chops, true believers? Like, what the fuck? Dude, get this shit off the screen. That's fucking weird as fuck. And then also, there is this, like, James Dean Vietnam War film that people talked about in, like, 2019. Mm-hmm. And people were like, what the fuck are you doing with James Dean? Didn't happen. But thank now... God. There's apparently fake James Dean is going to be in a new movie about a toddler who magically transforms into James Dean after just 2 weeks after going to the scene of like James Dean's death where his car crash was in California.
There have to be like 600 James Dean lookalikes on the planet ready for their shot.
Yeah.
And if you want to do money. Like a satire or an artistical piece about like what James means to the culture and how that image impacts us, there's story there. I get it. But then if you are literally just recrafting James, a man who died in his early 20s, who could have never imagined this to be a possibility, that is...
Joelle, look, I know you watch a lot of film and you have... You have good takes and opinions on this, but yeah, I haven't even read you the description of the film, and you are already jumping to conclusions. So
a toddler turns into James Dean.
I know, but let me describe it fully first, and
all
then
right,
make
okay.
a decision.
All right. Okay.
So hold on to your assholes for this one. Quote: a writer finds a newborn in the backseat of his car after a storm subsides in Chelan, California, the place where on September 30th, 1955, legendary Hollywood actor James Dean died at age 24. The baby's presence is a mystery, as is what happens next. A few days after suddenly appearing in the car, the baby has transformed into a toddler. 2 weeks pass, and he's already a teenager who looks and acts like Dean. It turns out the new human is indeed Dean, who returned to life to experience everything his own untimely loss denied him. Meanwhile, instead of living in the 1950s, Dean 2.0 is driving a Tesla, using an iPhone, and reading what is still, decades after his death, being written about him on social media.
What's being written about James Dean on social media right now, other than this new James Dean movie is fucking weird?
Yeah.
This is a... Why the fuck did they do this?
Hey, James Dean, stay dead, fam.
Boy. I do wonder who's getting the money. Is it James Dean's grandkids? Is it... Someone's got... The money's got to be going to someone.
Children.
Yeah. Well, so...
You're right.
This is a product of a licensing deal that intellectual property management company, CMG, Worldwide, and film production company Hannibal Media have made with Marcus Winslow, trustee of James Dean's estate and Dean's cousin. And he's also one of the executive producers. All right. Get that EP credit while you sell out your cousin.
That is wild. If any of my cousins had control over my likeness, that's not a deal I ever consented to.
Marcus?
On the record now.
Fucking Marcus's ass just got me playing with a Tesla. He doesn't know me. But yeah, again, this has even happened. Like, Whitney Houston had a Vegas residency. You know, like, it's all just part of this very, very odd thing. And I think, yeah, it is, like you're saying, Robin Williams has a deal, 25 years at minimum, like restricted use of his likeness or image.
25 years, and then they can go, they can fucking
500 years, because 25 years is not long enough.
Got kids, though. He's got kids, and he wants to get, I get given those.
And they're very vocally supportive of their father. Like, I don't think Zelda's going to allow.
I would, Robin Williams did that movie, wasn't it AI, where he's like a robot that becomes self-cognizant?
Bicentennial Man.
Bicentennial Man. Mm-hmm. So what I would say is they should make a movie where it's Robin Williams. They recreate him, but they use like all his everything they had and basically becomes self-conscious. And he becomes conscious, realizes he's a celebrity who's been brought back to life against his own consent and just tries to destroy Disney and take it down. That's what I want.
I like that. Like sentient resurrected AI.
That's better
like,
than the James Dean movie you just read me. And I just thought at the top of my head.
Yeah, you just thought that. I like that. Okay, hold on.
I'm going to reach out to Zelda Williams and be like, this is what we need to do.
And we're going to holler at some of our connections at UTA and see if we can push something of just maybe we can get a call.
Disney to fight Robin Williams brings Walt back from the dead. It's revealed that is true.
Oh, yes.
And then it's a war between CGI Robin Williams and Disney's head and Cryo Disney. Yeah.
Oh, and he's like Krang from fucking Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles because he's just a disembodied head. And he's inside of a gigantic like baby robot thing, like Master Blaster kind of thing.
I thought of Mickey Mouse. I mean, but again, we can mix the brands.
Right. But it's like a Gundam like size.
A Gundam Mickey. Yeah.
Okay. We got some here. There's a lot of IP stuff that would be very interesting, but I like where we're going. But yeah, I think there is something to say, like to your point about our rejection of our own mortality and also like the rigid lack of creativity that exists in Hollywood at the moment with like just people barely now being like, what about like new ideas? What about like new creators? What about like new stories? What about like more diverse?
We're about to see all of that dry up. The thing that's really interesting to this about me is like, there's a reason Hollywood is so attracted to bringing back proven successes. They really don't want to take any kind of risk right now. That's why you don't see a lot of original IP. And when you do, everyone worked at scale, which if you're not an industry person, basically means the lowest amount of money they would show up for. I just think that there's such a fear of being wrong right now, especially as we watch Netflix sort of wither on the vine.
You know, and the first to go are a lot of their diverse hires.
A lot in... Dude, in AAPI,
I mean, that's a whole other thing. I'm about to be like, yo, I think I'm done with Netflix, to be honest.
Oh, I unfollowed every Netflix account this morning. I'm probably going to cancel my subscription. I don't think I've turned on Netflix in the last 2 months. I used to be such a Netflix devotee just because they were supporting launching so many careers. But then when you hear the stories of people who work there, horrifying stories. And I mean, like, everything from I'm not being heard to I was fired and let go within 2 months to, you know, and now basically I heard they just released a memo I haven't seen with my own eyes yet, but basically saying, hey, man, if you're offended by the things Dave Chappelle said about trans people, you're free to go find another job, to which I hope those people are able to find another job quickly in a way that doesn't hurt their finances at all, because that is a ludicrous thing to tell people, to essentially just accept hate.
I told my ex-girlfriend, I said, cancel this account right now. We need to cancel this immediately. I no longer can support this company.
That's the same. I'm like, yo, mom, we got to stop. I'm going to let you cancel that, though. Or at the very least, I'm going to delete my profile off your account. And that's real. That's real. You can just have that. You can just keep it as guest. I don't give a fuck. But yeah, it is really disheartening. And like on top of it, you think that those kinds of actions mean, and I think this is it's again more backlash, right? This is a constant in American society. There's a little bit of progress, things don't go right or whatever, there's a backlash, there's an immediate pushback. This, especially with the Chappelle stuff and their numbers going down, I feel like in a way they're maybe trying to signal to people, it's like, hey man, we're like the not woke streaming service with not that great original shit anymore if you're into it, but we got people fucking in masks if you like that. And some other cool dating shows. All right, maybe not. Check us out, though. Anyway, so the stream wars will continue, and we will eventually see a winner. But yeah, yikes. And yeah, like you're saying, for all the people whose careers started and seemed promising there, for all that shit to just get pulled out from under them so quickly and just leaving, like, the status quo at the company, I think is very, very disheartening, especially when you look at the things like Strong Black Lead and some of the other verticals that they had, like where they're curating stuff for people, you know, of, that were interested in it. Oh, let's actually toss those out, because those are some of the loudest people in the company, and we don't need that.
Yeah. Well, it's going to hurt their bottom line, because, I mean, we can already look at some of it. Look, did you guys see, I don't know if this is the right crowd, but they just announced the new Bridgerton couple, and it's the long simmering couple in the background, but there's just zero heat there. And I was like, I don't feel like you don't understand at all why people watched this show in the first place. Season two, already a bummer for a lot of season one fans. Season three, not promising anything new. They canceled the Racist Baby animation, which I was really looking forward to. There's like...
I'm sorry, you said Racist Baby animation?
If you watch the confirmation trials for the last Supreme Court justice, you may have seen a book called Racist Baby, which talks to children about, like, what is racism? What does that look like? And how does it manifest in children? They were going to make an animated... I'm not sure if it was a movie or a series.
Oh, the Ibram Kendi thing, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And they tossed that right out the window. So all of their progressive projects that I think people were sort of staying around for, Ava DuVernay's new project just got canceled. I know the Obamas left Spotify recently. I think they're still at Netflix. I don't know what is coming up with their projects or not.
They have a new show with Adam Conover that's coming out. That's actually
that does
good.
Look good.
That
I like okay. Adam Conover. Right, okay.
And actually, Adam's going to come on, I think, tomorrow or the next
day
to talk about it. But yeah, I mean, but I think it's like anything, right? There are certain deals where clearly they can make good things, and then other things, like you're saying, there's such a utter lack of courage to experiment, because when you have these things where it's like, well, our fucking shareholder value just tanked because that fucking show sucked. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, yeah, that's a really odd place to try and come up with, you know, good content when those are the forces at work. Anyway, it is what it is, but... You know what, Gianmarco, thank you so much for joining us today. It was an absolute pleasure to have you on. Where can people find you and follow you and see you and experience your comedy?
Yeah, I'm everywhere at Gianmarco Cerezi. That's my name. It's with a G, Gianmarco Cerezi. I got a podcast called The Downside. Check it out wherever you have podcasts, just watch it on YouTube. And otherwise, I'm touring around the country. So just touring around looking for the next variant. So find me online, and tickets and emails and text list, all that stuff is on my Instagram and TikTok profile.
Cool. And is there a tweet or any other social media posting that gave you a tickle that you want to share with us?
Yeah, I was really tickled yesterday. Seth Green. That's the correct name. Seth, you saw this?
Oh, yeah.
Seth Green, he got fished, which, look, I almost got fished recently. I will say I'm 33. I used to judge people that, like, fell for phishing schemes as it's like, oh, you dumbass. You clicked on an email and gave your password. But it almost happened to me. I knew not to give my password, but I get it now. Yeah. And so Seth Green bought three NFTs. Three of them are apes. One of them is a doodle. And he basically was like, I got fished. It got stolen. Please don't buy these stolen. He said to the internet. Yeah. This is like going to the middle of Times Square, having your wallet stolen and saying, hey, everyone. Hey, vendors, food vendors. Don't take any money for a second because someone took my wallet. So it could be my
please
money. So if you could just
check
me back.
Money.
So he said, listen, if you see these for sale, please don't buy them. Let's talk. Let's work it out.
Yeah, and I saw him tag somebody, too.
Because he said one of them had been purchased, because you can't track the purchase. So he said, hey, so-and-so, it looks like you bought my ape, so I don't know, you're going to give it back to me for free? I don't know what discussion. Yeah. I'm Seth Green, I'll put you in a movie, I don't know.
I'm Seth Green, and I don't realize that I'm buying neo-Nazi artworks.
But, yes.
Okay, go off.
You play with NFTs, you're here's the thing, it's people thinking that cryptocurrency or NFTs is somehow like safe from all the problems money has inherently. And then it's like, no, it's now it's intangible. It's on the internet. There's so many problems still. Mm-hmm. So you thought it was smart and now you think you're going to get it back. Are you out of your mind?
It's like, well, yeah. And I think just like the most basic problems, right? It's like, it's the new money. Oh, really? How much is it worth today? This much? Okay, will that be the same tomorrow? No. it could be low, way lower or a lot higher. Okay, sounds pretty volatile. That's kind of different than real money, but okay, go on.
And oh, you thought it was a community. You thought you had a community. Well, guess what? Your apes were stolen and you're never getting them back.
Your apes were stolen and you have been grifted, which is, I think, the really sad part is because some, like we talked about this yesterday, just the amount of people who were desperate to try and make a lot of money. And that was basically weaponized against them. And now a lot of people are in a very precarious situation. So that
if someone's giving you money fast, maybe sit and go, maybe something's up here. Right. Maybe I'm getting conned.
It might. I don't know. Or this guy who I follow on Instagram, he seems to be cruising around in jets that don't look rented, in luxury cars that don't look rented, in a house that doesn't look rented, even though it has no pictures on the wall.
In a private jet that's really just a toilet seat. He's angled so it's facing the sky and it looks like it's, you
like
know.
Like a porthole window? Right.
You never know. I think this is fun because, you know, Seth Green is fine. He will be fine. He's not devastated, unlike the many people who are. So I just, you got to laugh when the really rich guy loses a little bit of money.
Unless he for fucked up all his thing. Unless he fucked up all his Buffy checks. You hope not.
Sure. Seth, sure.
Come on now. Joelle.
Yo.
Thank you so much for helping me today, for talking today, participating, coming on. Where can people find you and follow you? And what's a fun tweet or social media post?
Yes. Hi, guys. I'm Joelle Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joelle Monique. It's Joelle Monique. Please check out my new show. It's called Comic-Con Metapod. I won't tell you who our guests are this week. Tune in to find out. Super great episode. Just went up yesterday. So hopefully you guys enjoy that. It's a super fun conversation. I have some tweets here. They're pretty good. One is from Kirk Wright's 79, who says Netflix laid off 150 staffers in new round of layoffs, according to The Hollywood Reporter. Just to say, Ted Sandros, that's the CEO over at Netflix and head of content, earned $38.2 million last year, comprising of $20 million in salary and $17.1 million in stock. So why all these people had to lose their jobs, who knows? It just happened. Also, Brandy did respond to Jack Harlow via tweet. She said, I will murk this dude in rap at 43 on his own beats and then sing his ass to sleep. Because you don't fuck with Brandy.
Oh, shit. You said you're going to murk him? Wow. Okay, Brandy Norwood. We see you. Wow. Okay. Where's Jack Harlow from?
I want to say down south. Hold on. I know this. Jack Harlow... Louisville. Yep. Louisville, Kentucky.
Okay. Because I know Brandy wasn't born in California, but I know she represents California.
She do. She do.
But yeah, I think she was born in Macomb, Mississippi. Okay.
She went to
shout
Tom
out Moat
Kobe,
to the
Queen.
Let's see some tweets that I like.
Yes, ooh, please.
Boy, these are some good ones. First one is from Ira at _ why so serious 0 tweeted, the air in the mornings of field trips used to hit different.
Ooh.
And that was a fucking Twitter time machine. I like a tweet that just with one sentence, I'm like, you're right. Because I was outside and those buses were there and you were smelling bus exhaust and shit. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And you're like, normally I'm in a classroom at this time, but we're not. It's like fucking 9:30.
Got sack lunch and I'm ready to go.
I'm about to eat a peanut butter and jelly sandwich that I did not want, but fine. And we're going to go see some weird racist version of Huck Finn at a local community theater. Yeah, it happened. Happened local to me as a kid. But hey, it is what it is. And then also Vinny Thomas at Vin _ A-A-Y-Y tweeted, it's 2023. Madison Cawthorn is watching the orgy through a window.
Oh, God.
Tears stream down his face. It starts to rain. And yeah, that may be what's happening. You can find me at Miles of Gray on Twitter and Instagram. You can also find me on our new basketball podcast, Miles and Jack Got Mad Boosties. The episode that comes out today, please check it out. We have a conversation with legendary player Robert Horry, 7-time champion, who won 3 titles with the Lakers, two with the Rockets and two with the Spurs. Jack and I couldn't be more like animated and just so excited to speak with a professional athlete. So check, you know, tune in for that very special topic, especially for me as a Laker fan. He has a very, very special place in my heart. Also, check out the other pod, 420 Day Fiance, with Sophia Alexandra. If you like 90 Day and trash reality shows, you can find us at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter, at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We got a Facebook fan page and website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes.
Footnotes!
Thank you for it. You catch the episode, and you're also going to figure out what the song is that we write out on. The song we're going to write out on is by an artist named Rugawd, R-U-G-A-W-D, or Rugawd. I don't know how it's pronounced, but this is a bassist who makes a lot of melodic music. So kind of like, if you like Thundercat, you'll like Rugawd, but not singing like,
with his fantastic falsetto,
like Thundercat does. Mostly an instrumentalist, but does all kinds of styles. And this track is called Ojos. And it's just got great melodic bass playing, a lot of good boom bap hip hop drums behind it, and really great, great instrumental music for you to check out. Let's see. Oh, obviously, Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. So for more podcasts, check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get them free podcasts. Check in with us later. We're going to tell you what's trending, and then we'll be back tomorrow like we always do with a new episode. So until then, do you, we'll do us, but do it wonderfully and do it ethically and do it morally. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Peace.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars, because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia. And I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.